Now,
the Bible does not teach reincarnation. When that life moment starts, and I don't know where it starts, when the seed and the egg come together or what, but a living soul suddenly is passed on. That's interesting, too, that God gave to man and woman that capacity. And once it's created, it is one. I taught last night on the empirical basis for reincarnation. And most people who listen figured out that what I was telling you about Edgar Cayce doesn't prove it. Edgar Cayce doesn't prove reincarnation because it's not the person having memories of his past. It's Edgar Cayce telling them they had a past. And what from that past is the traits that they can expect to have to deal with today. So that doesn't prove reincarnation. I introduced the teaching on Cayce by talking a little about reincarnation and saying the evidence is there that some people have had experiences where they are familiar with happenings in past ages, some of them historical, and when you check them out, there's no way they could have had knowledge of that. So that empirical evidence demands an explanation. I gave one possible one, and I didn't get to finish last night. Now, it is true in Scripture that there are demons, and demons can dwell in a human being, speak through him, and activate him. Demon possession. I gave an explanation where those bodiless beings came from. And I offered an opinion, but I'm still searching on that subject. Doesn't mean it's the final answer, but I'll tell you what I'm not searching on. That is that demons exist and can possess people. And that they apparently need a body to gratify a need of their own. That they must work through some living being. And they can use an animal, apparently. Though an animal would rather die than have them in the case of those pigs. I also know there are demons that got some terrible forms that are locked up in the abyss. The book of Revelation tells me that. Now, I could explain as a possible reincarnation theory that there is someone, a demon. I'm quite sure that demon boy of the Gadarenes that had a legion of demons in him, or that boy in the synagogue, or man, or whatever he was, apparently nobody else was aware of the fact, but that demon that was controlling that person recognized Jesus, and Jesus told him, shut up. Don't reveal me yet. Now, that demon had a memory of Atlantis. That demon had a memory, if Atlantis existed, and that demon had a memory that went back to the earliest time. That demon knew who Jesus was because that demon was present in the councils of heaven that Romans 8 talks about, where Jesus stepped forth to become the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God's fail-safe program for failing man. That demon has that recollection. So one possible explanation of the empirical evidence which is interpreted as reincarnation could be there is an intelligent being in a person that does have those past lives. They possessed a different one in a different life. Now, immediately there's going to be some people call and say, well, then anybody that has an experience that recalls things of the past, is demon possessed? I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. In fact, my study of reincarnation tells me that very few people who experience a throwback reincarnation episode have an experience of themselves being another person. What they have is an experience that throws them back to a scenario of memory that enables them to recall incidents in another age, which said recollection factor is interpreted as evidence that they themselves in another form of existence existed also. But there are exceptions to that. Some people actually recall being in another life. Now, when they get that far with their reincarnation experience, I lean toward crediting it to a demon. But the simple memory of events in past lives does not necessarily mean the person remembers that he himself was a particular priest in a past life, or lady, or consort, or king. There's a myriad number of empirical evidences that become the seedbed from which various reincarnation theories develop. I have a right to my opinion. I always distinguish between opinion and fact. I believe if the reincarnation experience is an experience of having, if I, for example, have an experience of having been, and I can clearly, in some throwback experience, clearly have a recollection of myself being a person, identifiable, present when the pyramid was being built, I think I'm going to go get some help for exorcism, because I think that that person having that recollection of me being there is some other being in me. The soul does not transmigrate and reincarnate. Psalms makes it clear. He just takes our breath, that's ruach, back to him, and stays with him. Now, I don't believe everybody that has recollection of past events and past lives is demon possessed. The Spirit of God has the power to possess us, as demons have the power to possess us. The Spirit of God has been present in all ages too. And the Spirit of God can speak through us and recall events. But there's a subtle difference. It was not some entity that is Gene Scott's soul that used to inhabit some priest or some king ages ago. Gene Scott's a new creation. That day I was formed in my mother's womb, Gene Scott became a living soul that instant. Gene Scott has one shot here. And when Gene Scott dies, that soul goes to his maker. Period. No soul sleeping either. That's it. You don't believe that? Well, you know, fine. We disagree. You have a right to be wrong. That's just the way it is. I'm hitting some people's real pet theories. Well, give me your verses of Scripture. Write me a whole testament. Now, look at it. Any recollection of past lives comes from not souls that have been there, but those denizens of the spirit world, demon spirits, that can come into us and live out their lusts or desires and have their memories of past habitations. And there is a point where you know the difference between when they're thinking and you're thinking. That's real demon possession. That's the Gadarene boy. And you return to your senses when that spirit's gone. You say, you just said the Holy Spirit can possess you, and he has a memory of past lives, ages. That's right. But he is one. Whereas demons are multiple. And a demon can occupy a different vessel called a life in each age and keep leaping from body to body. As when the demon-possessed boy of the Gadarenes, had he died, those demons would have gone to find another habitation. In fact, there's a scripture about getting demons out of you, and if you don't act a certain way, the one that left go out and get a bunch more and come back and will be seven times worse when he comes back. When the Spirit is in you, I believe the Spirit can work to recall past events and past ages, but it will not be a recall of you being an entity in those past events and past ages. The Holy Spirit is one. When the Holy Spirit speaks through us, prophetically or backwards, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit revealed things to Jeremiah. I saw the earth, and there was no man. That's the Holy Spirit through Jeremiah unveiling, but it doesn't mean Jeremiah was one of those residents in that city in that previous age, any more than Ezekiel, who sees the end of time, is present. The Holy Spirit is without time differentials. And when the Holy Spirit is in us, the Scripture says, if you have a spirit, you have the mind of Christ. So I can find both a positive and a negative source for the kinds of experiences that allow the interpretation of reincarnation. If I didn't believe the Bible and were not convinced, for example, the realism of the New Testament epistemology, to use a jawbreaker to the few philosophers that listen to me and know what I'm talking about, the whole world is divided epistemologically between idealists and realists. Idealists say there are entities having relationships, or rather realists say that. Idealists say there's nothing but the relationships. Idealism leads to pantheism. Idealism leads to the ultimate concept that I move my little finger and it affects China in some way. And it ultimately destroys individuality and individual immortality, and there's just a stream of undifferentiated reality. Realists know that God is God and we are other, and the ultimate relationship's a dialogue relationship. You are divided right down the middle. Now, without the Bible, I might find it compatible to become an idealist and lean towards some Eastern religions. But the Bible, once I accept the authority of Christ, nails me down. No matter how pet my theory, no matter how much my emotions reach toward it, the Bible lays me down one track by its authority. I'm a realist. Of course, it's easier because the English language made a realist out of me with its changing verbs and fixed nouns. That's another subject. Likewise, I have an empathy for reincarnation because of the multiplied evidence. I don't have to work at finding an explanation. The evidence would make me give the easiest explanation. There's just a bunch of us turned loose somewhere back there, and we just keep finding new physical houses to dwell in. We go from life to life. That wheel of life, the transmigration of souls, the reincarnation theories are the easiest explanations to explain the empirical data. I have to work to find an explanation consistent with Scripture. And that explanation consistent with Scripture says, I have an easy explanation to those that are demon-possessed. The entity, to use Case's words, is the demon. He's just finding a new house and so taking over that the entity possesses the creature, and the creature thinks he had the past life when in fact it's the entity, the demon. Difficult problem is, there are reincarnation experiences that remember good things of past lives that I can hardly equate with demonology. There are those that remember the warfare and spirit world in past lives where good people are doing things. But as I analyze, and I challenge anybody to give me some readings or some case histories that are contrary, when it is a positive kind of experience interpreted as reincarnation, I find that usually they're remembering events, but not necessarily having the experience of having personally been the entity that was there. That's easy to explain then. The Holy Spirit was always there, working on those that did positive and constructive things, and he's now in that person who's having the recall. And I firmly believe the Holy Spirit can reveal past and present to someone through his work, but I wasn't there. The Holy Spirit was there. That's the biblical doctrine. Now, I could go on Edgar Case all night. He never proved reincarnation. He went into a sleep-like trance and gave readings to people who came to him for help, and part of his readings was to tell them, talk of the entity that was in them. Troubled people came to him. He told them they had an entity, their soul, that had these past existences, and he would trace it back until they could see habit patterns, and he would tell them future things. I'm not elevating Edgar Case. I think Edgar Case was a good and honest man, probably loved God a great deal more than some of his critics. And he had a strange experience, could be parapsychology. What I'm looking at Case on is not primarily because of reincarnation. I took that to get there. I'm looking at Atlantis and the fact that these revelations. He had, like Nostradamus, so many of them come to pass. Instead of starting where most people start with Atlantis, geology and archaeology and language commonalities, I started with this spectacular seer, Edgar Cayce, who describes roughly 40,000 years of Atlantean history through the remarkable method of being in a sleep-like hypnotic trance and speaking forth in a reading for some troubled soul that came to talk to him, and stenographers took it down. And the reading describes this poor troubled soul as having had, and he never talks, if it's Bob Turner, for example, it's not Bob Turner, but rather an entity that is dwelling in Bob Turner, which said entity may have been Nero in another life, dwelling in another age. I'm saying that if it is demon possession reality, such as the New Testament talks about, I have no difficulty. The entity is the demon. If it is Holy Spirit possession, you hardly call it an entity, because there are not multiple personages. The Holy Spirit in some mysterious, incapable of being explained and differentiated manner dwells in all of us. And wherever he is, he's absolutely there. But he is one. He has the knowledge that comes from the Father. Now, I'm not going to teach on that much more tonight. I just want to clear the air on it. I was amazed to see how many people last night never heard of the spear of Longinus, the spear of destiny, the spear that pierced the side of Christ. You know how many world rulers have held that spear and felt like, or people who aspired to be world rulers and felt like they got their power from it? Kaiser Wilhelm, just before the First World War, it had rested in Vienna as part of the regalia of the Habsburgs. He was so certain that if he obtained that spear, it would give him the power to conquer the world and raise Germany to its destiny. He tried to trick the old Archduke Franz Joseph into sending the regalia of the Habsburgs over for a special celebration he never intended, ever, to send it back. Somebody wrote, one of his own people, by the way, wrote and alerted the Austrian ruler and stopped that. That renegade Englishman, son of a British Admiral Chamberlain, that became the advisor to Kaiser Wilhelm. Totally caught up in Wagner's distortion of Parsifal, that opera that put together the German theory of the Holy Grail. Which said opera saw Jesus as an Aryan, hated not only the Jews, but as Hitler would later say it, that offspring that worshiped the Jew Jesus Christians, do you really think that anybody that sought to annihilate the Jew and hated the Jews and the Christians the way Hitler did is not under the control of some demon force? Hitler stood in front of that lance, as it was called, that spear with the, what tradition says is a nail from the cross bound around it. Rulers from Charlemagne, clear back to Constantine, through Charlemagne, through Napoleon, through Kaiser, as I've said, felt if they held that spear, they could rule the world. All the biographies of Hitler talk of his down on his luck years in Vienna, through the eyes of dropouts and failures in the flop houses and slums of Vienna, who knew nothing of Hitler's attachment to that Satanist that ran the occult bookshop that introduced him to the old peasant outside of Vienna, where he took that drug this book dealer had grown up in Mexico and returned to Germany and introduced him to that Mexican cactus plant with the ingredient of mescaline in it. I introduced Hitler first to the mind-stretching experience of mescaline in his attempts to break that barrier into a transcendental escape from the prison houses his own occult studies led him to believe of the senses. And this demon experience that came over him, building on the framework of the writings of Chamberlain. I'll tell you one of the experiences of Chamberlain, that Englishman turned German. Don't believe in demons. Paul talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Houston Stuart Chamberlain was given to seeking demons, to seeing demons, who by his own account drove him relentlessly to seek new fields of study and get on with his prodigious writings. This is the advisor to Kaiser Wilhelm. Once in 1896, when he was returning from Italy, the presence of a demon became so forceful that he got off the train at Gardone, shut himself up in a hotel room for 8 days, and abandoning some work in music that he had contemplated, wrote feverishly on a biological thesis until he had the germ of the theme that would dominate all his later works, race and history. Since he felt himself goaded on by demons, his books were written in the grip of a terrible fever, a veritable trance, a state of self-induced intoxication, so that, as he says in his biography, he was often unable to recognize them as his own work because they surpassed his expectations. Hitler Germany rose out of an occult commitment to Satan worship, dying of mustard gas. Dietrich Eckhart cried out, that's what he said, "Follow Hitler, he will dance, but it is I who have called the tune. I have initiated him into the secret doctrine. opened his centers and vision, given him the means to communicate with the powers. Do not mourn for me, I shall have influenced history more than any other German. Thus spake Dietrich Eckhart as he lay dying from the effects of mustard gas in Munich in December 1923. One of the 7 founder members of the Nazi Party. This imposing Bavarian was outwardly known as a poet, a gifted writer and historian, a bon vivant, a lover of witty talk. Yet those who saw him apparently immersed in the gay social round of the Munich beer cellars never guessed that behind the jovial facade of this veteran army officer was hidden a dedicated Satanist, the supreme adept of the arts and rituals of black magic, and the central figure in a powerful and widespread circle of occultists, the Thule Group. Adolf Hitler first heard about his future mentor through reports of his repulsive activities at the time of the communist push in Munich, which followed the signing of the armistice. I could take you, this powerful Thule Group, occult circle, the most powerful occult society in Germany. Hidden activities of the Thule Group worked like tentacles of a higher dimension behind all aspects of life in Bavaria. Dietrich Eckhart and a small inner core of Thulists had been prepared for the imminent appearance of a German Messiah in a whole series of spiritualistic seances held together with the entourage of the notorious Russian emigres Generals Skoropadsky and Bashupsky. These 2 Russian generals, who were known throughout Bavaria for their violent anti-Semitic and anti-Bolshevik views, later provided the cash for Hitler to buy the newspaper of which Dietrich Eckhart became the first editor-in-chief. The astonished psychic gifts of the medium at this seance. You see, Saul had one like this when the witch called up, quote, Samuel. Telling you, when Paul writes about principalities and powers, Satan sits off and laughs while spiritual show-offs talk about delivering Christians from demons that make them get mad. One cigarette, go to movies, have weak kidneys. You can get rid of all these demons of jealousy and love against your loved ones, spit it out on a handkerchief. Devil really laughs. You've got bigger things to do than give you the hives or a bellyache. We're fighting principalities and powers, and people tell me to love them. You're reading the Bible about that angel. Daniel prayed, and an angel shows up and says, I heard you 3 weeks ago, but the prince of Persia resisted me. That's not Cyrus or Darius or any of their successors. That's a demon power assigned to rule through the rulers of that city. God begins to prophesy against the prince of Tyre, and before long, he's talking to Lucifer, who really rules. You don't think there's some demons working on people in Washington, D.C. You don't know anything about your Bible. Don't ask me to love them. I hate them. Astonishing psychic gifts of the medium, a simple and illiterate peasant woman, were discovered. What a name. By Dr. Nemirovich Dotchenko. A devious character who acted as press agent for the large circle of white Russians that had settled in Bavaria. In deep trance, this simple hulk of a woman, talking out of a trance, emanated coffins and shrouds which manifested in some ghostly birth from the netherworld. And voices rang forth as she spoke in almost poetic form from deep unconsciousness in numerous foreign tongues. Dietrich Eckhart was the master of ceremonies at these regular seances. But it was another significant character, Alfred Rosenberg, a German refugee from Moscow, who took it upon himself to question the ever-changing spirits which briefly occupied and possessed the medium. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
And it was Alfred Rosenberg, too, the prophet of the Antichrist or the Protocols of Zion. Now, you've heard of those. Jews have been beat up and abused about that forgery by a Russian for years. Hitler used it to go against the Jews, a so-called design to take over the planet by a bunch of evil Jews, forged by some enemies of the Jews. And literally, it became the master plan Hitler used while he attempted to destroy the Jews who had nothing to do with it, saying they wrote it. Alfred Rosenberg was the prophet who put that together, who dared to call forth the presence of the beast of the revelation. The Luciferic monster which had taken over body and soul, Adolf Hitler. According to Conrad Ritzler, one of the earliest members of the Thule group and later the literary, see, you didn't get any of this at Nuremberg because scientists are there don't believe in the devil. Nazi Germany was just aberrations. According to Conrad Ritzler, one of the earliest members of the Thule group and later the literary editor of its secret publications, all those present were terrified by the mighty powers which they had unleashed. The air in the room became stifling. You say, you believe this? Friend, I have attended spiritualist medium seances, not the ones for the tourists in Brazil. I've seen what holy men can do in some sections of India. I've watched a witch doctor in northern Luzon prophesy using the blood of a chicken. Some of these academics sit around in ivory towers and haven't seen outside their stupid classroom and the road to their home. Try to tell me about spirit forces. Turn them loose in northern Luzon. They better wear rubber pants. The air in the room became stifling and unbearable. And the naked body of the medium became translucent in an aura of ectoplasmic light. Rudolf Glauer, the founder of the Thule Gesellschaft, began to run from the room in panic, but Eckhart grabbed hold of him and threw him down to the floor. Nobody had the presence of mind to write down the strange utterances which poured forth from the medium like some kind of riddle. Messages of the greatest import and clarity came at those seances in which dead members of the Thule group were called up from beyond the grave. Why do we believe this witch of Endor could do something like this and think it only happened then? Why do we believe that a prince, an evil demon of Persia, could so resist the angel who came to answer the prayer of Daniel that they had to fight for 3 weeks and he had to call Michael, the one that had wrestled with Satan over the body of Moses. He had to call Michael in to help him fight his way through. Michael's fighting a holding action and he says, I'm going to go back now, and when I go back, we'll finish it. And lo, when I'm gone, Prince Grisha will come, which is that demon force that empowered Alexander the Great, that came into him when he sought out an oracle and gave him that power. That's why Daniel says, when he died, the four who rule in his place rule but not in his power, because that beast, the same one that will come forth and empower Antichrist. The seance, one of them claimed to be that one that empowered Adolf Hitler. Eckhart grabbed hold of him, threw him down to the floor. Messages of the greatest import and clarity came at those seances in which dead members of the Thule group were called up from the grave. The most important prophecy concerning the appearance of the long-awaited, the most important prophecy concerning the appearance of the long-awaited German Messiah was spoke by Prince von Thurn, Untoxis, who had been put to death by the communists in Luitpold Gymnasium earlier that year. The prince, barely 30 when he was shot to death, had also been a member of the mystics of Bavaria. People say to me, do you believe that Episcopal bishop searching for his dead son actually talked to him? Well, he talked to somebody that claimed to be his son. I don't recommend you go to any of these spiritualist mediums unless you've been there to see. Be careful about your simple-minded conclusions. Satan is very much alive and well, and he's more complicated than some of the bookstore books say he is. The prince, barely 30 when he was shot to death, had been a member of the mystics of Bavaria, a sect founded. You say, what does it got to do with what you're teaching? I'm going to get on Holy Blood, Holy Grail. I haven't even scratched the surface of the Grail romances. Every time there's an important truth that God wants preserved for his people, Satan comes to steal it. The truth is that God sent his disciples. Persecution forced them to go to the lost tribes first, which is what he told them to do, to the place that he had prepared. Isaiah 54 is going to be fulfilled immediately after Isaiah 53. And the barren one's going to have more children than the one that wasn't divorced. And without even knowing who she was, God sends the earliest evangelist to those British Isles to land at Marseille, up that valley, and across to England, where Joseph of Arimathea had made the trip many, many times. And those lost years of Jesus from 12 to 30, he made the trip with his uncle because his dad was dead and Joseph was his guardian. They're beginning in archaeology to discover King Arthur is real. King Arthur is about the seventh generation from Joseph of Arimathea, a Jew whose lineage is in the throne of England. Now, the Grail romances contain the truth, but Satan moved in. The incarnation theory, Satan moved in with Nimrod and Semiramis and Tammuz and the damnable doctrines out of Babylon through Pergamos, the mystery religions to Rome, by Alexandria up to Rome, and conquered the medieval church. And Satan takes over and substitutes the Queen of Heaven for the desire of the ages, which is Christ. Giving is the most abused truth, because God doesn't need money. We need to give. And Satan moves in on that territory. And I'm telling you, even good, maybe honest men don't know it, but they're being used as much by Satan in the way they raise money on television as Peter was used of Satan and caused Jesus to say, not to Satan, but to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Anything that's good, Satan moves in. Anytime there's something that's been abused, I've learned I start paying attention to that truth, because Satan's probably painted over a real truth. Astrology has painted over the truth of Romans 1 and 2, that the wrath of God against ungodliness was revealed and has been in the heavens all along. And the greatest proof of God's control over everything is written in the stars, and Christians are afraid to look at it because of the painting over by Satan. Pyramid, taken over by pyramidologists who twist it out of shape and turn it into mystery, and till Christians are afraid to look at God's stone witness that will redound to his glory in the land of Egypt in the last days, saying, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. God has spoken from the stars, and Paul said, man's without excuse. He'll have his stone witness in the last day. Man is without excuse. God is in control, and he keeps his word. Satan always moves in the territory and tries to cloud it. The German versions of the Holy Grail that became the opera of Wagner, Parsifal, twisted that romance and turned it into a mystical pattern of initiation into higher truth. Hitler grasped its truth in the black magic, saw the symbols from the raven, which was the first step, through six phases of growth in insight and wisdom and truth to the highest form, the ego. I thought I'd throw that in. What's Poland's sign? The ego. And that evil vulture ego of Germany. I just want to throw that in for a minute. Not boring you. I am trying to teach on that three-headed eagle, which in 2 Esdras, which was in the King James when it was written, taken out by the American and British Bible societies. Who says they were authorized to canonize? King James had it in. Puritans took it out. And God said to Ezra, I'm going to show you that fourth beast that was not explained to Daniel, that three-headed eagle. Those two little wings. They stay there to the end. The historicists in prophecy have been wrong because they have refused to let God continue to speak in types and double fulfillment, which was his pattern through all the recorded history of Scripture. The futurists have been wrong in that they have failed to allow the types to also speak truth, even though there's yet the final fulfillment to be done. God has been in control of history, as he will be in control of future history. Hitler was not the Antichrist, but he was perhaps the greatest type of the Antichrist on the face of this earth since that terrible Assyrian that God used to punish his people. The prince, barely 30 when he was shot, and he wasn't a product of his times. He was demon-possessed, demon-empowered, demon-projected. And those formative years in Vienna, when he lived with the occult, was taught by that Mexican, he's German, but growing up in Mexico, studying Aztec literature, introducing him to drugs as a way to move into the extrasensory world and cultivate his demoniac experience to begin when he looked at that spear. Obsessed to obtain the spear. The prince, barely 30 when he was shot to death, had also been a member of the Mystics of Bavaria, a sect founded at the end of the 18th century, which later had affiliations with the Germanic order. Steeped in the traditions of the ancient German emperors, he had actively joined the plotters against the communist regime. Now looking pale and ghostly, the head of the prince manifested itself above an ectoplasmic shroud, while in a perfect imitation of his earthly voice. Now, I'm going to tell you something so gross. See, I skipped over it, but we're at a late night hour. You can't believe what goes on in some of these Satan cult seances. You want me to read it literal, what happened? I talked about ectoplasmic heads and shrouds. This peasant, illiterate peasant woman, totally nude, In a deep trance, this simple hulk of a woman emanated from her vagina, ectoplasmic heads and shrouds, which manifested in some ghostly birth from the netherworld. I'm not afraid of demons, but I want you to know Paul wasn't just simply using phrases when he said we wrestle not against flesh and blood but against principalities and powers. There are a lot of Christians that know nothing about Satan because they never give him any trouble. We're at war, folks. You ask yourself, why would I be picked? Anybody in the right mind knows this church is honest. That just became the excuse. Satan's very scared of what truth's going to reveal. Clara Grace said several years ago, Gene Scott would be used as Paul was used to be a steering voice to the church in these last days. There were some things, she said, the only difference is there's some things Paul saw that wasn't lawful for him to reveal because the time was not yet. Some of those things, I believe, is who and where the lost tribes were, which is why that last chapter of Acts was lost until the time arrived. But that I would be allowed to reveal them, not some new truth that comes to me, already contained in God's Word, pulling it out. Because the time has come. Satan's afraid of truth, looking pale and ghostly. The head of the prince manifested above an ectoplasmic shroud from this medium. While in a perfect imitation of his earthly voice, the medium, in deep trance, communicated his thoughts in the German tongue, which she herself, in waking consciousness, was unable to speak. Instrumental with Dietrich Eckhart in starting pressure groups in Bavaria for the return of the ancient German treasures to Nuremberg when the Habsburg dynasty ended in 1917, this young prince who had worked with Eckhart to get that spear that it was claimed pierced the side of Jesus. When the Habsburg dynasty ended, this prince who had been shot when he was 30, having worked with Eckhart to get the spear returned to Nuremberg when the Habsburg dynasty ended in 1917, he, this head through the mouth of the medium, now dead, he had died in 1919, now identified the man who became the new leader of Germany, Adolf Hitler, who was present, as the next individual claimant to the Heilige Lance, around which was woven the legend of world conquest. Believe you me, he got it. See, the truth in that movie that everybody enjoys so much, Raiders of the Lost Ark, is built out of the solid historic fact of Hitler's crazed desire to have these relics to which history and legend attached power. Nothing drove him like the Heilige Lance. Am I boring you? I'm just skipping around before we trace this lance. You see, I can't get back to Holy Blood, Holy Grail without telling you a little bit about this lance. Is interesting. He said, what are you reading? Well, I'm reading The Spear of Destiny by Trevor Ravenscroft, student for 10 years, captured on a raid which attempted to assassinate Field Marshal Rommel in North Africa, prisoner of war in Germany for 4 years, studied under Dr. Walter Johannes Stein. Dr. Stein was the personal advisor, here he is, as Dr. Stein, Vienna board scientist who was the personal advisor to Winston Churchill during the war about Hitler. He is the one who bought the book with the writings in the margin signed by Adolf Hitler, bought the painting from the decrepit painter, chased him down, became acquainted with him, went to the museum in Vienna and watched the demon possession reaction of Adolf Hitler as he looked at that lance, shared with him their mutual interest in the Germanic and pan-Germanic theories of the Grail Romance that was interpreted as a process through stages to wisdom and Antichrist theory, the hatred at first hand he witnessed of Hitler's attitudes toward both Jews and Christians. I want to read one other thing to you. You don't get much of this out of the biographies because most historians simply don't believe in the devil. You know anything about Madame Blavatsky? Well, you ought to. You ever go to that worship center, so-called religious center in the United Nations? I'm about to come to the alternative sources of that voice that speaks from within the body of that ego rather than the head. You listen to me all week, and then when I preach on Sunday, I can get past the introductions. Read you something else. Interesting book. I want to find another demon possession description of Hitler. Oh, Hitler's description of the quest for the Grail. When Hitler elaborated on the Grail, which he conceived as a path leading from unthinking dullness through doubt to spiritual awakening, the word most frequently on his lips was initiation. Many times he reeled off the ascending grades on the way to the achievement of higher levels of consciousness, disclosing the meaning of the heraldry and armorial insignia of the knights, which he interpreted as representing the various stages they had attained in the quest for the Grail. The black raven was the sign of the first degree, he explained, because the raven signified the messenger of the Grail and the finger of fate which led man to it. The second degree was symbolized by the peacock, its many splendid plumage demonstrating the capacity for the many-colored imaginative or picture-building power. On to the sixth one. According to Hitler's un-Christian interpretation of the Grail symbolism, the highest degree merited the emblem of the eagle, for the initiate had now developed the loftiest powers and faculties attainable to man. He can now assume a world historic destiny. What has such a path of initiation got to do with a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, said Hitler, a self-appointed rabbi whose teachings of meekness and love ended in the surrender of the will to survive? Nothing. Nor had the Grail disciplines for awakening and reawakening the latent powers in the blood anything whatsoever to do with Christianity. That's aside to Hitler. You never read when you read some newsman who talks about this ignorant corporal paper hanger. He earned the highest degree of the Iron Cross in the First World War. A prophecy about him said that the German Messiah would rise when he was 33 years old, 25 years from the statement of the prophecy, and would rise from death. And he utilized even the concepts, many people did, of the Antichrist wounded in the head and coming alive again, because he was gassed with mustard gas. And as he came out of his recovery, having escaped death time and again in the First World War, He came to his 33rd birthday, recovered from mustard gas. See, God's had his types all along. Now, I've told you again and again, the one that is wounded in the head to death and was, and is not, and is again, is not an individual. It is that demon from the pit that empowered Alexander the Great and will possess Antichrist. But the warfare between Satan and God ever goes on. And it's always in the territories where it means so much if Satan wins. Antichrist cannot come to power unless the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is torn apart. Antichrist cannot come to world rulership unless this free country raised up by God as part of God's plan of the ages, that 19th chapter of Isaiah might be fulfilled, retains its freedom. Satan has one goal, and that's to make a liar out of God. He's got a lot of forces at his disposal. And all I'm doing is planting some seeds, random seeds as you've seen me do before, to let you know we got a lot to teach. We've got a long ways to go. I can save that demon possession. Well, take the testimony. It was not only the fanatical followers of the Nazi state or people who had been personally affected by the charisma and dynamism of Adolf Hitler who were to give evidence of this remarkable phenomena of his luciferic possession. Take, for instance, the testimony of a rational and extroverted person like Denis de Rougemont. Quote, "Some people believe from having experienced in his presence a feeling of horror and an impression of supernatural power that he, Adolf Hitler, is the seat of, quote, thrones, dominions, and powers, by which St. Paul meant those hierarchical spirits which can descend into any ordinary mortal and occupy him like a garrison. Where do the superhuman powers he shows on these occasions come from? It is quite obvious that a force of this kind does not belong to the individual, and indeed could not even manifest itself unless the individual were of no importance except as the vehicle of a force for which our psychology has no explanation. What I am saying would be the cheapest form of romantic nonsense were it not that what has been established by this man, or rather through him, is a reality that is one of the wonders of the century." Many people talked. In fact, one fellow described it as a funny-looking little man with a mustache and a tuft of hair who suddenly turned into the archangel and begin to speak with overpowering powers, and when it was finished would sit spent and glassy-eyed. I'm not a Hitler buff, and this last fraud should turn people off on it. I am interested in this other little artifact, the Spear of Destiny, and I am interested in the continual demonstration of God's control on the streams of history and God's prophetic outlines of the works of Satan in the center of the conflict. That's why a churchman like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, smitten in spirit in New York, knew the church and only the church could have stopped Hitler. What is happening in these United States is a demoniac, satanic attempt to set the stage for Antichrist. And the mission of the church is to restrain Antichrist until they're taken out of the way. And as long as there are people like me and you, he can't come to power.